Hi, Northwoods. We are so glad that you're here this morning. My name's Hope.
And I'm Jason.
And again, we just hope that you have a really awesome Sunday today. We want to let you know about a few things before we kick off our service here this morning. The first of those being, if you are new, we're so glad that you're here. And I would love it if you took out your phone and texted the word new to the number on your screen. That's going to put you in communication with one of the pastors on our team, and we can answer any questions you might have about Northwoods.
What you can also do with your phone right now is get the Northwoods app out and push the button for the connection card. That there will get you connected with us, and it kind of takes this big thing of online service, our regular in-person services, and it gets it smaller and allows us to connect with you. You can put in your prayer request. You can find out what opportunities are available at our campuses. Yep. And even here online, there are opportunities that are available for you to serve in capacities that would blow your mind. You'd be like, what? Those things are available for us?
Yeah, very true. And you know, one of the things that we are super excited that's coming up is the Christmas production. So I'm like pumped for this. Are you excited?
I'm excited about the Christmas production.
What's your favorite part?
Well, this year, I can't really give away any secrets.
Okay.
But there's this like photo op that we have. And we've been seeing it like every time I come into the Peoria campus, like I see this thing.
I'm
like, that's amazing. My daughter's gonna be a part of it. Like she's
that's so fun.
So having my family there, but there's always something that just stands out. In the last couple of years, it's like the drummers or somebody flying in or
the horse. Yeah, the horse too.
That was amazing. So there's always something. So come this December 17th. It's coming up pretty quick.
It's
opening night, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Get here, find out what the big surprise is, because there's always a big surprise with the Christmas production.
Very true. And you know, we also are going to premiere that online on December 20th at 7 p.m. And then after that date, it will be available for you to watch whenever you want on demand. So we're excited for that.
Yes.
That's going to be a good time. We're going to have a little bit of special behind the scenes preview for those of you who are joining us online. So be on the lookout for that. And you know, honestly, come in person, watch online, watch it however many times you want to. You know, it's something I feel like you can just watch over and over again, and it's always so much
tickets
fun.
Are free too.
Yes.
Like they're free tickets. So get tickets for your friends, bring your friends to it, and just come in and enjoy the Christmas production. And right now, like, I just want to invite you to join in the chat and just chat with us.
Maybe let us know, like, when you're coming to the Christmas production or what you love about the Christmas production.
Because we'd also like to take the opportunity to maybe meet you when you show up for a Christmas production. And also in that chat, you can join in the prayer, too. Mm-hmm. We would love to take the opportunity to pray with you and just join in and just seeing God move in your life.
For sure. We have Marilyn and Lisa on our prayer team this morning, and so I know that they would love to be praying with you. But I think that's all that we have. We're ready to get into service and get started. We have a great message. We're getting really close to the end of our Ten Commandments series. So today we're going to be talking about lying, I think. So buckle up, get ready. Northwoods Online starts right now.
Hey, good morning, Northwoods Church. Let's go ahead and stand on our feet. Welcome. Hey, we're going to sing some songs, and we're just going to celebrate the name of Jesus today. Is that okay with you? Yeah, come on, let's sing a song. We sing. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. and makes the nations prove. Come on, lift your voice. The glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. Oh, the wonders of his love, the wonders, wonders of his love. Oh, we praise you here today, Lord. Yeah. And he rules the world with truth and grace, and he makes the nations free.
There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise a cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Come on, church, worship Jesus. Till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored, and the church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth shall not kneel, shall not fade. By his blood
thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord. And like the song, the words that just sang from our mouths, Lord, we will praise you forever. Lord, thank you that we have the season that we can come together and we can worship you, that you chose to come down and be flesh, to be born in a manger, Lord, and to raise up and die for our sins. Lord, we could never, ever thank you enough for that. Holy Spirit, we invite you in today, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to your word. Walk alongside us, guide us, and direct us. Lord, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. As you're taking your seats, take a moment to greet those around you and wish them a Merry Christmas. Oh, I love that sound. Well, welcome to Northwoods. My name is Janine, and we're so glad that you're here with us today. If this is your first time visiting, we would love to connect with you. And a great way to do that is if you will text the word new to the number right there on your screen. We just want to reach out to you and answer any questions that you may have and help you get connected to any ministries that you might be interested in. Now, for everyone else here, whether you've been here for just once or you've been here every week for the last 31 years, we want to connect with you too. So go ahead and open your Northwoods mobile app and fill out the connection card. While you're there, ask us questions, share your thoughts with us, and let us know how we can be praying for you. Well, we are in full Christmas production swing around here, as you can probably tell. And we're only 12 days away from opening night. So here is a little taste of what you can expect from a Northwoods Christmas.
Experience the magic, memories, and true message of Christmas at Northwoods Church. 10 free performances, December 17th through the 23rd. A musical production celebrating this special season at Northwoods Church. Details and tickets available online at northwoods.christmas.
Well, I have found that when people find out that I am on staff at Northwoods, they will usually automatically tell me about the Christmas production they attended and how awesome it was, and they can't wait for the next one. I find that people who aren't usually going to church during the year, they are more open to visiting a church or taking and receiving an invite to church during the Christmas season. And that's why we do what we do. We want everyone to enjoy the singers and the dancers and the horse-drawn sleigh pulled through the auditorium. Those are all awesome. But the real reason that we do what we do is because we want people to know the love of Jesus Christ. So we have these little invitation cards on the back of them. It has all the shows and all the information you need to know. Grab as many as you want. They're at our information desks right out here in the lobby and atrium. And hand them out to friends, family, neighbors, anyone that you know of that needs to know how much they're loved by their Father. Now, tickets are completely free, and you can get them online at northwoods.christmas. And while you're there, pay special attention to the changes in our child care and our assisted living, assisted seating. Sorry about that. We're not doing any of that here. Just assisted seating. But these are important changes that you're going to need to know about when you do arrive. Well, another great part of the Christmas production is serving. And I am telling you, you might think I'm crazy, but it is just so rewarding. And the environment is just exciting and joyful, and it's such a great thing to be a part of. And there's something for everyone. If you are someone who likes to help people find their seats and give direction, we could use your help as a balcony usher. Or if you like opening doors and welcoming people, we'd love to have you as a greeter. Now, if you're like my husband and you're an introvert and the idea of being around thousands of people freaks you out and does not sound like a good time, that's okay too. We'd love to have you on our parking team. You can help us keep the flow of traffic nice and smooth. And of course, we always love extra hands, loving on our babies and our little ones so that parents can attend the Christmas production and hear about Jesus. Now, you can learn about everything I talked about those opportunities and many more by going to northwoods.christmas and getting signed up for the spot that's just right for you. Well, here at Northwoods, we believe in raising up our children, the next generation, to know God and to trust in Him. And child blessings are a perfect opportunity to be able to seek God's blessings for our children as we make a public commitment to raise them according to His plan. Now, we have several openings on all of our campus for the next Child Blessings, which is on December 12th. That's next week, so it's coming up really quick. And the thing about it is those slots fill up quickly, and they are limited. So if you have been thinking about it or you know someone who's been thinking about it, get signed up as soon as you can. And the easiest way to do that is to go right there on your mobile app. You can also visit northwoods.church/news. So get signed up and get those babies blessed. Well, you know, we could never provide such an incredible Christmas production completely free without your faithful giving. So as always, we really do thank you for your incredible generosity. If you've come today prepared to give, you can do that by going to any of our drop boxes around the church. You can go to our website or the mobile app. You can text the word give to the number on your screen, and you can always drop it in the mail. Now, for those of you who give year-end giving, you can do that. Give your donations by going to northwoods.church/give, and you can also drop your gift in the mail to us. Now, we will need all donations either received or postmarked by December 31st. So for those of you who want to give assets, such as stocks or insurance proceeds, you can do that by emailing giving@northwoods.church. And that's another great place that you can go if you have any questions about year-end giving. Well, I've given you a lot of information today. I know it because I feel like it's a lot of information, but that's okay. You can go to our website or you can go to the Northwoods mobile app, and everything you heard today is going to be right there for you. So now let's get ready for our message and see what Pastor John has to share about number 9 in our 10 commandments.
Good morning, Northwoods. Great to see everybody. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And, you know, as I was sitting down front with my brother here, you know, I was just reminded in years past, normally, as we're preparing for the Christmas production, we're able to close the curtain. So you don't always see what's going on behind the curtain, but it's a little bit bigger set this year. And so you can see that the team's been hard at work getting ready and preparing for the Christmas production. And so for just a moment, I just thought we should stop and pray. You know, I think many times, church, I want us to remember that this production isn't just something that, you know, it's easy to think, yeah, that Northwoods, the staff, is going to put this on. Listen, if you're a part, we all make up this church. And yes, there are some of us who help to lead this church who are on staff, but we are all a part of this church. And this Christmas production is something that every single one of us are a part of this year, and we each play a part. And one of the ways, even if you're not up here on stage, even if you're not, we've talked about many ways you can volunteer, but I hope all of us will be thinking about the part we should be playing in prayer. Because, you know, we do this, like Janine said, to see people come to know Jesus Christ. And it was Jesus who said, "No one can come to me except that the Father in heaven who draws them." And so can we just take a moment together and just stop, and let's be praying that God would be drawing people to his son, Jesus Christ, and we'd see many people get saved this Christmas. So let's bow our head. Let's just, if you want to just stretch your arm forth, let's just pray together, because we are all playing a part in this production this year. We all have a part to play through our prayers. So Lord, again, we just ask you in advance, Lord, that you would just be summoning people, that you would be drawing people, and that through this Christmas production, we would see many people come to know Jesus Christ. And I was just praying yesterday in Psalm 107, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. I pray that there would be stories this Christmas of people whose lives are out of sorts, who feel like their life is wasting away, and who would be invited, who would come here and would come to know you, Jesus, and how you radically change our lives. And so we ask that, Lord, in advance. We also pray for the health of all those involved in the production. We pray for the health of every single person who walks through these doors. And we just give you all the glory. We thank you in advance for what you're gonna do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church, for praying. Yeah, let's continue. I want you to get that mindset that I have a part to play in this production, and one of those parts to play is prayer. So if you've been with us, you know that we've been walking through God's top 10, the 10 commandments, and today we are up to commandment number 9. And since today's commandment deals with honesty, I thought it might be fun to start us off with another top 10, what I'm calling the top 10 casual lies people tell. And these are casual lies that I pulled from various sources and put into a top 10 list. And so as I read these off, I'm guessing that some of us might identify with some involved in this list. So here's number one, the top 10 casual lies we tell. Number one is, I'm fine, nothing's wrong. Like, really? You know, I've had this happen. You've been sitting in the corner crying for the last 10 minutes. Really? You're fine? Nothing's wrong? Okay. Number two, I'm 5 minutes away. Well, in reality, I'm actually 25 minutes away, and I actually haven't even gotten my car yet, but sure, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Number three, it must have gone to my spam folder. You ever heard this one? Yeah, I didn't get both of those emails you sent. Let me go check my spam folder. Number four, my phone's been acting weird. Had anyone tell you that? Yeah, I texted you, I called you, left you. Oh, I didn't, no, I didn't see any of that. My phone's been acting weird. Number five, my phone died. You heard that one? Use that one? Yeah, I didn't get your calls, my phone died. Number six, I'm gonna have to explain this one, but you'll get it. I don't have to explain this one, maybe the next one. Number six, it's not you, it's me. We use this in breakups. It's not you, it's me. No, let's be honest, it's you. number seven, I might have to explain this one, but you'll get it. Oh, I didn't even see you there. You ever use this one? You walk into a place and you immediately see someone, but then you act like I haven't seen you. And then you actually bumped into them. You're like, oh, I didn't even see you there. I was acting like I didn't see you because I didn't really want to interact with you. But number eight, this is delicious. Any of you just use that one on Thanksgiving? Yes, Grandma. Your green bean casserole? It's delicious. Number nine, thanks. It's just what I've always wanted. Get a knitted oven mitt for Christmas. If you're thinking of giving that, thanks. It's what I've always wanted. And number 10, I hesitate with this one, but I think it. Number 10, your baby is adorable. Now, let me just be clear, okay? Let me just be clear. I love babies. I think they are precious. But I do not think that all babies are adorable. Now, listen, my babies are adorable. Like, I've told my wife before, like, man, our babies are so adorable. But sometimes I look at other babies and I'm like, oh, like, what? They're precious, but, you know, they got no hair. They're just little curled up little, you know. I love babies. Now, we can have some fun and laugh about some of those. But the reality is that God takes honesty very seriously. So much so that he included it in his top 10. Exodus 20:16, which is the ninth commandment, reads, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." Shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Now some shorten it and say, "Do not lie." And that's okay. But there's a little bit more to this command. So let's start by making sure we understand what the command, what's being said here. Now, I want to just give you a little review. Let's back up for a moment. When God gave these Ten Commandments, if you remember, right, he had just rescued Israel out of slavery. He's brought them out of slavery, and now, as he's giving the Ten Commandments, they're preparing to embark on a journey to the Promised Land. And as I said in the very first week of this series, the Ten Commandments were all about teaching a freed people on how to stay free, how to live free in an enslaved world. Thus, in a sense, I want you to understand, God has just rescued them. Now he's establishing kind of a new order. He's establishing a society. And he starts with giving 10 moral laws. And he shows us that a civilized society is one that's governed by moral laws, the Ten Commandments. Now, I wanted to stop here. It's kind of a sidebar, but it's certainly an application. As I was thinking about this week, I want you to think about this. If God cared about establishing a society that was founded on, based on moral laws, do you think we should care about the laws that are being passed in our country? I think we absolutely should. And so I think that's the reason why at times people have asked, I've heard people ask this question, you know, why do you guys get up there and talk about certain laws being passed? And this is why. This is why you'll hear us at times talk about certain bills that are being introduced and voted on in DC and invite you to be praying about them, to speak up. We do that not because we enjoy delving into political issues, but because we believe God's word teaches us that we should care about the laws that are being passed in our country. We should care about laws being passed that are based on morality. And let's remember, morality is not subjective. Morality, for there to be morality, there has to be a standard or a moral lawgiver, AKA God. So we should care about, church, laws that are based on morality as established by God. So kind of remember, let's remember, that's the context of the Ten Commandments. It's God is establishing moral laws to help govern the lives of his people. And part of that meant, this is where we come to the ninth commandment, establishing a protocol for how disputes would be settled. This is where the ninth commandment comes in. So for example, let's say you're living in this time, you know, several hundred years ago, you're living this time. Let's say you wake up one morning to find that your brand new pair of goatskin sandals have been, they're gone. They were outside your tent when you went to bed. You wake up, they're gone. Someone must have stolen them. Then you see your neighbor. Let's say it's your neighbor Abdiel, three tents down, suddenly strolling around in what looks like your brand new pair of goatskin sandals. You confront him. Those are my sandals. You stole them. Give them back. He responds, I didn't steal these. I fashioned these babies yesterday. These are mine. So now we got a dispute. How's it going to be settled? It's going to be settled based upon the eyewitnesses. I want you to think about this. Back then, do they have DNA testing? Nope. They got fingerprint identification? Nope. Do they got tent surveillance systems? No. This is going to be settled based upon, it's going to be settled on the account of witnesses. In fact, in that time, a person could only be found guilty of a crime based upon the testimony of two or more witnesses. And on top of that, capital punishment was carried out based on the testimony of two or more witnesses. So understand, the outcome of a dispute would hinge on the testimony of witnesses. So God gives the ninth commandment and says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. In essence, God is saying, if you are a witness in a dispute and are brought in to give testimony to what you saw, do not perjure yourself. You are to be honest. If you're a witness, you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Now, knowing this, we might be able to say, okay, good. Don't lie under oath. I'm good there. Never done that. Let's move on. But slow down a moment. Hold on. As with many of these commands, there is an overarching principle. There's a deeper principle behind the command that's much broader. For example, we might not have wooden idols set up in our home, commandment number two, But we can still be guilty of breaking the command if we put anything else before God. You know, you might never physically murder someone, commandment number 6, but we can be just as guilty by letting anger and bitterness stew in our heart towards someone. So understand, there's an overarching principle. There's a deeper principle behind these commands. And the principle behind this command is, whether you're in the courtroom or just in everyday life, whoever you come into contact with, and remember, your neighbor, that means anyone. Just think about that. When Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, teacher, who's my neighbor? Anyone you come into contact with. The principle is, anyone we come into contact with, whether it's in the courtroom or anywhere else, we're called to be honest. And in case we need a reminder, I know I do at times, honesty is a really big deal to God. Really big deal. In fact, this week as I was, you know, I was looking through many of the places in the Bible where it talks about dishonesty and lying. And I was struck by the sheer number of passages that talk about this. And the more I read through them, I just felt the weight of, man, God is, not only includes in his top 10, but God is, I mean, this is a big deal to him. So for the next few moments, I don't normally do this, but I'm gonna ask you to just reflect as I read several of these passages. Proverbs 6:16-19, there are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. And as my dad said last week, anytime you read in the Bible something that God hates or is detestable to him, your ears should perk up. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. I want you to take note there. 2 of the 7 things that God finds detestable, lying. Lying is mentioned twice in that list. Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Proverbs 13:5, the righteous hate what is false, but the wicked make themselves a stench and bring shame on themselves. Jeremiah 9:3, this is Jeremiah talking about the leaders who have become corrupt. They make ready their tongue like a bow to shoot lies. It is not by truth that they try up in the land. They go from one sin to another. They do not acknowledge me, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 9:5, friend deceives friends and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to lie. They weary themselves with sinning. New Testament, Acts 5:3-5. You heard the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who lied about how much money they received from the sale of a land. And Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Someone was killed for lying. Colossians 3:9-10, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. 1 Timothy 1:10, we also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers. Revelations 21:8, again, this is pretty sobering to hear this, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, I want you to hear me. It's not saying here, if you've ever lied, you're automatically going to hell. It's saying these things that were just mentioned are the hallmarks of those who have turned their backs on God. In other words, that list there, these should not be so in the lives of followers of Jesus. Revelations 22:15, last one. Outside of the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Are you getting the gravity of the, catching the gravity of the situation here? God is saying, honesty is a big deal to me. Falsehood, lies, deception should have no place in our lives. That covers outright lies, half-truths, spinning the truth. Don't think it's just, you know, the media and the news outlets who spin. We all spin at times. Leave certain things out of stories to make ourselves look better and others look worse. Little white lies, exaggeration. I was out fishing and caught a 12-pounder the other day. And by 12, I mean a 1.2-pounder. God is saying in every situation, always, only, ever, tell the truth. Now, some might say, okay, I get it. You know, we shouldn't tell outright lies. You know, I know that outright lies can hurt me. They can hurt others. But, I mean, come on. Couldn't it be argued that a lack of complete honesty in some situations is harmless and even kind? Why does just a little lie that's really not going to hurt anyone matter to God so much? Well, let me give you two reasons why honesty in everything matters to God. Here's reason number one why honesty matters to God: because lying desensitizes your conscience. You know, the Bible makes the case that God has given a conscience that is sensitive to right and wrong. But the more we ignore that small voice, the small voice of our conscience, you know, we that small voice inside of us, the more we become desensitized. For example, I was interested to see this, that brain researchers have begun to uncover what the Bible has taught for hundreds of years in this area. In an article for the New York Times titled, "Why Big Liars Often Start Out as Small Ones," Erica Good cited a new study that found that people who tell small lies are likely to progress to bigger falsehoods. In the study, they had some way of reading what was going on in people's brain. They had them hooked up to whatever they use there. And in the study, participants were asked to advise others in the room how much money was in a jar. And when the subjects believed that lying was to their advantage, lying about the amount of money that was to their benefit, they were more inclined to dishonesty and lying. And what they found is, as the lying would increase, the researchers were able to watch how the response in the amygdala, the part of these people's brains, would decrease. So the findings suggested that the negative emotional signals that would normally go off in your mind associated with lying would begin to decrease in the brain as the amount of lying increases. So the more you lie, the more you become desensitized. This is backing up what the Bible teaches. No matter how small the lie, the more you do it, the easier it becomes to lie. Why should we not tell even a small, seemingly harmless lie? Because you're desensitizing the conscience that God has placed in you. And I just want to stop for a moment here, because I think it's so easy. I was talking about this with my brother yesterday. It's so easy for us to become desensitized to things that God calls sin. And so let's just stop right here for just a moment, because I think sometimes when it comes to this area of lying, we just become so desensitized and just say, oh, I'm not a liar. And the truth is, yeah, we might not tell outright lies, but we're dishonest in a lot of other ways, and we become desensitized to it. And so let's just stop, and I want you just to invite the Holy Spirit. Just ask him, just close your eyes, bow your head, and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to sensitize our heart and our mind to his voice and to call sin, sin. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now, if there's any place in our life where we have become desensitized to dishonesty. I pray you would sensitize our heart and our mind. Help us to feel and help us to call sin what you call sin. What you call sin is sin, Lord. And so I pray you would desensitize our hearts, or you would sensitize our hearts right now in this moment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. So the first reason we shouldn't lie is because lying desensitizes our conscience. But here's number two, reason number two, lying dishonors God's character. Lying dishonors God's character. That's the main reason why honesty is so important to God. Because biblical commands against lying, yes, they're there because we know they hurt others and us, but at the most foundational level, biblical commands against lying are ultimately rooted in the character of God. Meaning, at the most foundational level, like I said, commands against lying aren't just because they hurt us and others, desensitize our conscience, those are all true, but because lying dishonors God's character. I thought this was interesting this week. You know, if you look at the other place in the Bible, this command is stated, Deuteronomy 5. Again, the Ten Commandments are found in two different places, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. If you just look at them at face value in both places, it basically says the same thing. You know, you stated the same way. But what's interesting is if you look at those commands in the original Hebrew language, you find they're a little bit different. So if you look, you find that when it says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, we see that, okay, it's stated the same in both places. But Exodus and Deuteronomy use two different Hebrew words for false. In the Exodus passage, the word used for false can mean lying, untrue, deception, fraud. We get that. But in Deuteronomy, there's a different word used for false. In Deuteronomy, the word used for false can mean insincere, empty, frivolous, or to misuse. And I thought this was pretty cool. In fact, that word misuse, we found that in the fourth command. It says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. That word misuse in the fourth command, same root, same Hebrew root word that you find in the ninth commandment that says false, that's used for false. So I hope you make this connection. If we profess to be a follower of Jesus, then when we lie, we are giving God a bad name, or in other words, misusing his name. In other words, you can't break the ninth commandment without also breaking the fourth commandment. Probably also break a few others along the way. But I want you to make that connection. God's name is connected with truth. And if we claim his name, then anytime we're being dishonest, we're giving him a bad name. We're misrepresenting him. Numbers 23:19, God is not human that he should lie. Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for God to lie. God's nature is truth. His name will always be connected with truth. Satan, on the other hand, his name is connected with falsehood and lies. Jesus, speaking about Satan in John 8:44, he said he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. I thought I only knew one language, English. But I'm reminded that when I'm dishonest, I'm speaking another language. El Diablo is what that is. Somebody didn't know, you speak two languages. It says, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And to throw a Christmas movie quote in there, as Buddy the Elf might have said it, he sits on a throne of lies. This is why this matters, because when we lie, we ultimately misrepresent God's name to others. For example, anyone out just listening today, just show of hands, anyone ever had their social media account hacked? Anybody had that happen to them? Or you've seen this happen to other people? Someone begins using your name and starts sending weird messages to people from your account. What's happened? And in essence, someone has taken your name and is misusing it and misrepresenting you to others. You like when that happens? No. That's why we send out messages saying to everyone, please disregard any messages you may have received from me. It's not me. My account was hacked. And just like we don't like our name being misused or misrepresented, neither does God. He's saying the life you live should be in alignment with the name that you claim. Lying misrepresents God to others. That's why God cares so much about this. We're called to be people of truth. So how do we assure, kind of as we come to the end here, how do we assure that we become those people who always only ever tell the truth? How do we assure that we become people of honesty? Well, as I see it, it starts with making three commitments. Commitment number one is be honest with yourself. I believe it all starts here because if you cannot be honest with yourself, you will be unable to change. In fact, as I was preparing this week, I was just reminded that this might be one of the tougher messages to preach out of the Ten Commandments, because people who are dishonest, do you think it's just easy for them to start being honest with themselves about their dishonesty? No. And so I've been praying this week that the Holy Spirit would just bring an extra sense of conviction this week. Because if dishonesty has become a pattern in our lives apart from Him and His conviction, I think we'll have a hard time being honest with ourselves about that. About 10 years back, I heard another pastor give a message on telling the truth. And at the beginning of the message, I wouldn't have admitted that I had a problem. I immediately heard him talking about, we're talking about honesty and telling the truth. And I was like, oh, okay, I can just check out here. I'm not a liar. And I had convinced myself I wasn't a person who told outright lies, which I didn't. So I'm not a liar. I tell the truth. But by the end of the message, found myself kind of sinking lower and lower in the seat as the Holy Spirit brought His wonderful ministry of conviction. And He helped me to be honest with myself about my dishonesty. I had a tendency to exaggerate. How many students attended a youth group? Oh, there were 60. Well, there were actually 52, but 60 sounds a little better. I'll just round up. I tended to tell things in a way that made them sound better. For example, I'd make a purchase and my wife might say, how much you spend on that? And I'd say, oh, it's $25. And in reality, I knew full well it was, $28.78. Why not just tell her the actual amount? It's only $3 difference. Well, because $25 doesn't sound like I spent as much. So let's round down there, make it sound a little better. I also had a tendency to tell stories in a way that would maybe leave out just a few small details and make me look a little bit better and others look a little bit worse. But it wasn't until that day, listening to that message, that the Holy Spirit convicted me and helped me to be honest with myself, that those patterns of dishonesty began to change in my life. If we are unwilling to be honest with ourselves about this, nothing will change. In fact, I have found in 10 years of ministry and meeting with a variety of people over the years, I have found that you cannot help people who will not be honest with themselves. Can't help them. God can't help them either. They won't be honest with themselves. So becoming a person of honesty begins with facing the truth about yourself and making a commitment to be honest with yourself. Let me ask you, is dishonesty a problem for you? Be honest. So we have to make commitment to say, I'm gonna be honest with myself. I'm gonna face the truth, is that this maybe is a problem for me. Here's commitment number two, be honest with others. I found that many times we're dishonest with others because we're selfish. Reminds me of a story of a grumpy old man that I've always enjoyed. And It was a story of a grumpy old man who boarded a train and occupied the best seat in a small cabin. And then he tried to reserve as the train was filling up. They had already said it's going to be a full train. He took his luggage and put it on the seat next to him. You know, we do that when we hop on buses sometimes. You try to keep the seat next to you with your luggage. But just before the crowded train began to move from the station, a teenage boy came running up. And he said, you know, and running up and jumped aboard. And the old man said, you know, get out of here. This car's full. And he said, that seat next to me is reserved for a friend who put his bag there. And the young boy just paid no attention and said, all right, well, I'll just sit here until he comes. Whereupon he sat himself down and placed a suitcase upon his lap, while the grumpy old man just glared at him. Of course, the old man's friend didn't appear, and soon the train began to move. And as it glided past the platform, the teenager tossed the bag out the window. And he said, apparently your friend missed the train. We can't let him lose his luggage too. You know, I've always loved that story, but it's true that many times we lie to others because we're all about us and our own comfort. If it'll take away from our comfort, our reputation, our looking good, we lie about it. But if we're going to be people of truth, we must commit to telling the truth to others, even when it might cost us something. You know, that means when your boss asks you to make a call to a client and then follows up with you and say, hey, did you make that call? You're honest. Instead of saying, in your head, I didn't call them, but yeah, I left a voicemail, got their voicemail, I haven't heard back, but let me go check with them real quick. Might be easier to say that in the moment, but it's not honest. Again, might not always feel good in the moment to be honest, but that's what God expects. And if you are honest in the moment, I bet you won't forget to make that call next time. Now listen, it might be easy to think that if we lie, I sometimes can rationalize this in my mind, that if I just lie now, it's going to cost me a lot less. But I have found that ultimately lying might cost less in the short run, but it will always cost you more in the long run. So we commit to being honest with others even when it might cost us. We commit to being honest with others. That also means keeping your word with others no matter how tough it might be. You know, my 3-year-old daughter had to teach me this lesson just this week. On Tuesday night, I had come home with a sticker and I gave it to my 5-year-old daughter, Ariana, and Joanna goes, would you get a sticker for me? And I said, well, I only have one, but you know what? Tomorrow, I'll grab you one. And my 3-year-old daughter says, no, you won't. She gets a little bit sassy at times. We're working on that. And I said, what did you just say? She said, no, you won't, Dad. You'll forget. I said, I'm not going to forget. I'll get it for you tomorrow, and I'll bring it home. She said, okay. Next day, Wednesday, goes by. I forgot. So I had, you know, the day gone by, and we went over to have dinner with my mom. And so we were over there till probably about 6:30 at night. And so we're getting ready to leave. It's time to go home and get we're getting ready, the kids ready for bed. And Joanna hops in my car and she goes, Dad, did you get that sticker? And I said, oh man, I'm really sorry. I forgot. And I kid you not, she goes, told you. I was like, where is this coming from? I said, what did you say? She said, I told you, you forget. And I said, well, you know what, Joanna, even though, you know, we're supposed to be going home to get ready for bed, the day ain't over yet. So we're going to go out, we're going to get a sticker right now. And we did. And again, it would have been a whole lot easier just to go home and say, we'll get it the next day. But you know what? I gave her my word. And I don't want to be, it makes me wonder if there's been times where I've forgotten stuff. If she gets to this place, she's like, told you. So being honest with others also means keeping your word with others, no matter how tough it might be. So make a commitment to be honest with yourself, with others. And then lastly, you probably know where I'm going with this, others, yourself, and God. Be honest with God. The reality is that if you want to get free from something, especially dishonesty, you must invite God into it. In fact, apart from the Holy Spirit's empowerment, we are powerless to carry out any of these Ten Commandments. Now, I remember several years ago, I had fallen into a pattern of sin. And for a long time, I wasn't willing to invite God into this area. Until one day, I remember bringing this before God, and I began to pray about it, and I just said something to the effect of, Lord, I really just need your help in that area. And I remember it was as if the Lord said, well, what area are you talking about? And I'm like, well, you know. Well, he's like, well, of course I know, but I want you to name what the area is. And for a few moments, I couldn't. Because not only did I not want to face the truth about myself, but it's like I didn't want to share the whole truth with God. And what's crazy is that he not only already knew about it, but he also already paid for it in full. How many times do you do this with God? Where it's like, we don't want to be honest with God, but yet he knows. I was talking to my sister this week. My dad's always told the story of my younger sister. When she was about 5, she would go into the freezer in the basement and she would start sneaking Halloween candy and leaving wrappers around the house. And one day my parents confronted her when she was about to go into the freezer, and they said, and they already knew she'd been taking candy. She said, Victoria, what are you doing? And she said something to the effect of, I'm just getting some rice out of the freezer. And my dad said, Victoria, we don't keep rice in the freezer. And she said, well, do you keep bread in there? Again, it's a little kid. It's like, dad already knows, but I'm going to act like he doesn't know. And that's kind of us with God sometimes. Well, I don't want to be honest about it with you. He already knows. And I will tell you, the day that I got honest with God and invited him into that area in my life, that is the day that I began to walk a path to freedom, and the Lord released a greater measure of self-control in my life. And I'm telling you right now, he will do the same for you, but you have to be willing to be honest with him and invite him into the equation. If we're going to be set free from dishonesty or any pattern of sin, become a person of honesty, that means we have to be honest with ourselves, with others, and with God. And so as we close, we're going to go into a time of coming around the Lord's table and partaking of communion together. But you know, I want to take a moment before we do that. So you can grab the elements. But in 1 Corinthians, Paul talked about how everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And so before we go into this time of communion, maybe the Holy Spirit has been convicting you about some places where you've been less than honest in your life. I want to just take a moment for each of us, and let's just allow the Holy Spirit to examine us. Is there any place in me where dishonesty has been happening? And if the Holy Spirit is making that clear to you, that means it's time to repent of that dishonesty and renounce it. And maybe if there's someone that you've lied to, you've hurt, maybe the Holy Spirit might reveal to you there's something you need to do with the person you've lied to. But Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to bring your ministry of conviction. If there's any place in my life, in our lives, Lord, where we are allowing dishonesty to be a pattern in our lives, I pray you'd reveal that right now. Holy Spirit, help us to be honest with ourselves about this. And whatever that is, you just take that and you just say, Lord, I repent of exaggeration. I repent of telling half-truths, spinning the truth. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would even reveal why it is that we do that. Maybe there's a deeper root to the reason that we again and again lie. But we repent of that. We renounce that. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would transform us into people who are more and more like Jesus. I pray you would release fresh fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I pray you would release a greater measure of self-control in our lives when it comes to being honest. You just thank him for his forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. And now you can grab your elements. You know, as we come around the table, I'm always reminded of this, that many times we can feel, you know, guilty about things we've done. But I want you to remember that when you come to the table, it's a reminder that you've been invited to the table. And the Lord loves you. And many times, I've said this before, we come to this time thinking that we're just here to remember the agony of the cross. Like, yeah, I remember just how much you suffered, and that's part of it. But remember, Jesus is saying, when you come to this time, I want you to remember what was accomplished on the cross. I want you to remember that not only through the cross is there forgiveness, but there is freedom. I came to not only forgive you of places where you've been dishonest, but I came to set you free from dishonesty. And so you can take that top layer off. The Bible says that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Then you can peel back that other layer. And again, the juice represents the blood. It's blood that cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Through his blood, we are forgiven, but through his blood, we can be set free. The Bible says that after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. Now, church, if you stand and pray together as we close. So, Lord, I thank you for your word and how you speak to us through your word. The Bible says the unfolding of your word gives light. I thank you for how you have shown your light in our hearts today. And Lord, I pray that you would empower us afresh to be people who always, only, ever tell the truth. I pray that you would empower us to represent your name well in our dealings with other people through our honesty. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray your blessing over your people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Listen, church, if you need prayer for anything, as always, we'll have our prayer team down here, down front. We'd love to pray with you. Have a great week. And I want to remind you, continue to be praying for the Christmas production in the days ahead. Have a great week. Northwoods Online, always great to have you with us. And you know, like I just mentioned, wherever you might be tuning in from, maybe you can't get here to help volunteer or serve at the Christmas production, but you can still play a part through your prayers. And so I would encourage you to just, over the next 12 days leading up to the Christmas production, be in prayer that many would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Have a great week.
We're so glad you joined us this Sunday, and I want to make sure you get back here next week as we finish out this series on the 10 keys to the life you've always wanted. It's been a phenomenal series, and it's just a great, refreshing way to look at the 10 commandments. So make sure you invite somebody next week as we finish this out, and it's actually going to be our last service for the year.
It's our last in-person service for 2021, and we have something really special planned for December 26th, the Sunday after Christmas. That's going to be a church at home weekend, so we just encourage you to bring your family around, maybe get together with some friends and, you know, grab coffee or donuts. Last year I think my friends came over for our church at home weekend, and we had a cereal bar. Everybody brought a different box
of
cereal.
That's an amazing thing there.
Yeah, we had a grand old time and way more cereal than we knew what to
Favorite
do
cereal?
Ooh, Captain Crunch, Peanut Butter Crunch.
Peanut Butter Crunch.
Yeah, yours?
I'm a peanut butter fan too, but you gotta throw some crunch berries in there.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Anyway.
But join us December 26th.
Yeah.
Come back online, and we hope you have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.